scripture reading in 2 Peter, 2 chapter 1 through 5. But there will false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. But if God spared not the angels at sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly.
Okay, great. Thank you for that reading. The key word in that is Noah. Not sparing those that were ungodly. Good thing about Terry. Good to be here. Our number is down. I noticed that the flu season is hit. Maybe we're missing about 25 or 30 because of that. There is some out of town. One of the mentioned Sammy had her hand operated on, and she's doing real well with that. And also, I think they did something to her foot, too. So she, both extremities, she was hobbling around. So let's remember, continue to remember her in our prayers. That surgery was last week. Let's be in the Word of God. Let's take a look, see what Noah's up to. Genesis chapter 6. It's in your handout. I think that I want to read a couple more verses than what I have in your handout. Genesis chapter 6. Let's begin reading verse 9 this morning. Follow up with some thoughts on the scripture reading. These are the records of the generations of Noah. He says this: Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." Verse 14, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch." You know, I have never been to Cooperstown. I have been to Canton. Cooperstown is where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. Canton is where the Football Hall of Fame is. I say that because when you go there, when you leave there, you have such a strong impression of what's there, what's inside those things. They're amazing museums, and they're just filled with sports history and all the greats that ever played the game. And I say all that to say that whenever you leave there, you don't say, "Hey, dude, I should be in there." You just don't have that feeling. You just know that you don't belong there. In Cooperstown, I think they've been keeping enshrining folks there that played baseball since the 1800s. And there's just about 300 baseball players that made the cut that are in Cooperstown. And coincidentally, it's about the same as the number of Canton as football players. And you think about all the thousands of people that have played baseball, played football, that only 300 made the grade, you know. And so I think about that. And nobody goes to the Hall of Fame and comes out there and, you know, says, you know, I remember down at Gilmore one Sunday afternoon, we had about 20 guys down there. I scored 2 touchdowns. I should be in the Football Hall of Fame. Nobody feels that way. And the reason I'm talking about the Hall of Fame like that is because I'm worried every time we crack open the Old Testament and we start reading things in the Old Testament and about the characters in the Old Testament that we come out and before we even go into it, we go, "They're not like me." All those people that we read about in the Old Testament and the dealings that God had with, well, those people aren't like me. This is kind of like God's Hall of Fame. They're so radically different. I'm not like those people. I can't be like those people. They're not like me. You need to understand today, and I really want to emphasize today, that as we're reading this text, the Bible was not written to celebrate people that aren't like you.
The Bible's not written. Instead, really, you know, that these folks, they have massive amounts of faith. They're just a cut above you. No, the Bible's really the opposite of that. When you look at that, it's the very opposite of truth. The Bible was written to regular people. Regular people. Ordinary folks. Just like you and me. It's just like you and me. And I look at that and I realize that they're not a cut above, but they're role models for me to look at and to think about. Role models of faith, role models of obedience. Not that they were different from me, because they're not. The Bible's not saying that they're not like us. The Bible is really saying that we need to be like them. That's precisely what the Word of God says. Which means today, rather than holding Noah at an arm's length, I want you to think about Noah as Noah was. Regular guy. Had a regular, ordinary wife. Had three boys. All of that changed for Noah when the Word of God came to Noah. All those things changed. Verse 14 said, we're going to do some real big boat building here. And that's when Noah, regular guy Noah, regular wife Noah, three boys Noah, that's when Noah had to make some tough decisions. That's when he had to make some decisions that were life-changing decisions. And so rather than looking at this and saying, you know, I'm not like Noah, I want you to put Noah's sandals on. I want you to walk where Noah walked. I want you to think about that. Probably if we did that, if we put some sandals on, it's probably still about like it is when Noah walked around even after the flood. Pretty wet, pretty soggy, did all of those things. But I want us to think about the kind of choices this morning that Noah had to make. And I come up with four, I think, difficult decisions that Noah made. And we want to work with those today so that we can see really exactly where we are. And yes, we can too. We can be like Noah. This is number one. I actually need to back up a little bit. Let's back up the first decision that Noah made. Let's look at verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. Sort of the first decision that Noah had to make had to do with giving up. What he says in verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, it was on evil continually. Now, really, this is actually the outgrowth of the Genesis story. When you look at Genesis chapter 4, what you see there's the genealogy, the line of Seth, really. And then when you look at chapter 5, well, really, that's the genealogy of Seth. It's in chapter 5. That's my bad. In chapter 4, you have a line of Cain. What happens in chapter 6? Those lines cross. Alright? Seth, godly men. Alright? The line of Cain, wicked men. Wicked people. Alright? But the godly men that serve the Lord, what happened? Well, those lines merge. Those lines mix. And Genesis 6 opens up with that. The sons of God marry the daughters of men. Guess what happened when that happened? The wicked women changed to godly women. No. Surprise, surprise. The wicked women influenced the godly men. Alright? And what happens in verse 5 is those godly men lost their influence. They lost their place in the world. That's why the Bible says that the world, that the minds of those in the world were filled with evil thoughts continually. Now, I need to be careful here because the hero of the Noah story, the hero of the story about the flood, not Noah, no, it's God is the hero. Verse 8, Noah found grace. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want to be clear here. That grace is like all grace. The grace that Noah found is undeserved. It's undeserved. God does not owe Noah a warning. He doesn't owe him that. God does not have to tell Noah, hey, you're going to have to do some boat building here. God doesn't tell him that. All through the Scripture. Oh, let me talk about that. Places in the Bible where judgment falls. Where judgment falls. Falls on the judge. Falls on the unjust. Just like rain and sunshine. The Lord addresses that. It just comes. There's no warning. Sometimes that happens. But this time, Noah gets a warning. Noah gets a warning from God. Why is that? Well, it's clear why that is. It's because of grace.
Noah found grace. And it's also clear that Noah was exceptional. Not exceptional that he was not just like you and me. Not exceptional in that he was a cut above the rest, or not like the folks he was around. Noah was exceptional because he was like everyone else in the sense of serving God. Verse 9, these generations of Noah. What's it say? Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. God's choice of Noah was grace. Now, wasn't deserved. No, but it's obvious that Jehovah selected God because Noah, he's tuned into God. Noah was tuned into God, and he wasn't in love with the world, and he wasn't in love with the present age. And that came about why? What did that come about? Well, because Noah didn't quit. Noah didn't quit serving God. Because, it's easy. Noah didn't decide. You know what? The world is the minds of everybody out there is on evil continuum. All the time. Nothing but evil all in the world. You know what? I might as well just quit. I might as well just give in. And I might as well just be like everybody else. Noah didn't do that. And that happened. That happens to a lot of Christians. And it's like the proverbial salmon that I've seen on the Magic Box this week. Constantly swimming upstream. Life is just tired. He is just wore out at better times, and that's it. And it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier not to be Christian. It's a lot easier in this world. Just give in. Just give up. Don't be a Christian. And when you do that, what happens is you start making bad decisions. And you start making bad judgments. And you start compromising. And then pretty soon, you know what to say? I didn't believe in all that church stuff anyway. I never bought it anyway. Only went because my parents went. And really, what's the point? And I don't care about it anymore. So when you find yourself doing that and compromising that way, you'll find yourself far from the grace of God. Well, look at verse 9. Noah walked with God. Now, am I walking with God? Now, what this means is a lot more than just, I'm going to obey the rules, and I'm going to show up to church on Sunday. This is talking about walking with God. This is talking about a relationship. This passage, in just those words, say that Noah cared about God. Noah thought about God. Noah trusted God. Noah had a relationship with God. And what happens was, when Noah looked around the world and seen what was going on in the world, Noah knew that hurt God. And that the way people were living and acting and being, that hurt God. And so, when there was a temptation to join in all of that, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that. That's what set Noah apart. I'm not going to buy into that. Because I love God. I love God. I want to be a righteous man. And if I do that, all of that's going to hurt God. If there was ever a time, young people, everybody's doing it. I'm telling you, everybody was doing it. Except Noah. Except Noah and his family. Noah didn't make any excuses. And I'm going to tell you something. Noah's proof for all time. It doesn't matter what your culture's doing. It doesn't matter the society that you live in, the world that you live in. If you want to please God, be like God, you can do that. And you can decide to do that despite what everybody else is doing. Noah proves that you can live a godly life, be a righteous person, be pleasing to God, no matter what the world's into. Noah decided, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit and be like the world. And then we go to that. Guess what Noah gets to do because of that? He gets a job. He gets a big job. And that leads, I think, to his second tough decision. Am I willing to do what God says? Am I? Am I willing to do what God says? Let's look at verse 13. Talk about that. All flesh has come before him. The earth filled with violence. Going to destroy them. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Going to cover it with pitch. All right. Look at verse 15. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Breadth, 50 cubits. Height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark. And finish it, cubits, the top, set the door of the ark, and the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third desk. Behold, I'm even bringing the flood of water upon the earth. I'm going to destroy all flesh. And which is the bread of life from under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. Well, when you start reading that and you look at all this cubic stuff, and you know, that's kind of hard to wrap around our head. I have not been to the tourist attraction in Kentucky that's got the big ark. Anybody here been there? Okay. Of course, the senior citizens have already been there. Anywhere you go, senior citizens here. I've not been there. And there's a lot of things to say about that ark, but when you start talking about cubits and all of that, it can range anywhere from 18 inches to 20.1 inches. And I think those folks in Kentucky, they decided on a 20-inch cubit. But I say all that, it really doesn't matter if you decide on that. This thing is ginormous, isn't it? It's huge. I mean, everybody that I've talked to, that's what they say. It's just unbelievable. Brother Dick and Chris, they moved down there close. They've been there several times. And that's what Dick said. He said, it's just so big. That's what he had to say, because everything that he has is bigger than better. Hi, Dick. I'm just kidding. But all you think about when you're there is this thing's a beast. I mean, and it's big. And I wonder how many of us, you come out there and you think, I don't think I could do that. I mean, that's what I would say. You look at that thing and you say, it's just too much, it's just too big. How in the world could I build that? I just know that's what I'm going to feel. And we're talking about building a boat that's over 500 feet long, 85 feet wide, over 50 feet high. It's monster. It's just big. And it dwarfs everything. And it's just not building that shell of a boat. We might be able to tempt that. But you're talking about different levels. You're talking about cages for animals. You're talking about living quarters for the family. You're talking about a place to repair things, to get boats. You're going to be on this thing for a long time. And it's a full-fledged city. It's just not a boat race, but it's there for eight people. Think about that. God said build it. You know what Noah did? Noah built it. And he built it without hydraulics. He built it without electricity. He built it without all these cordless tools. He built it without cranes. He built it without bulldozers. All of those things. And how did he do it? Well, God told him to do it. This is verse 22. Notice he did it because the text says three times, verse 22, thus Noah did, according to all. If I got all the money, how much do you have? You don't have any. God did all that God, or Noah did all that God had commanded him to do. Look at verse 5. Turn to page. Chapter 7. He says this, Noah did, according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Look at verse 16. He says, those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him. And the Lord closed the door behind him. Noah didn't make excuses when God told him to do that. Noah didn't complain when God told him to do that. He didn't say, I can't. He didn't say, I wouldn't. He just did it. And someone has said that the story of Noah is a story about long obedience. All that obedience in the same direction. I believe that's right. And I'm not sure that God has ever asked me something quite so demanding as to build an ark. I know he's not asked me to do anything physically that hard. And I think even in our day and age, with Lowe's and Home Depot, they're going to deliver everything that I need. And I've got trained construction crews showing up. And I've got all kinds of tools of every kind showing up at my house. And Lord, it's too much. I can't do it. Noah's decision is, I'm going to do it. And maybe the next time you think the Lord has laid a little bit too much on you, I'm going to tell you what, he's not asked you to build a cruise ship up in your backyard without any tools. He just hasn't done that yet. Now, last week we talked a little bit about the complications of the season that we would have as families. You know, sometimes some things that God asks us to do is hard. And it is difficult. And it can be hard. But no, obey God. And I think that's the decision that we need to make. We can obey God as well. And I want you to know that when Noah obeyed God, it just wasn't kind of sort of obeying God. It just wasn't, and I think it's sort of the season as I look at the scripture, Noah did exactly what God told him to do. You know, it has been observed today that if Noah built the ark today, all the different codes that he would have to meet, all the different building permits that he would have to, the required to get, all of those things, and the fire sprinklers, and you know what, you're going to have that many animals on board, you're going to have a certified vet there. All the things that had to be clear with OSHA, city council, animal control, code enforcement, all of those things. But you know what? Noah was concerned about all that. Well, Noah was concerned about one thing. What does God say? And I'm thinking in the area of our tendency as people that we have an interest in that, don't we? In adjusting God's plan. Don't we? And here's the big question. Here's the big question. Build a boat. I'll do that. But can we trim a little bit right here on this side a little bit? Can we trim a little bit? Can I make an adjustment here? Can I modify this a little bit? The spy. All through Scripture. Over and over again. As you look at the Bible, you know what? God knows everything about everything. And knows what's best for everybody. Somehow, we regularly say, I've got a better idea. I've got a better idea. What's so powerful about the Noah story is that Noah refused to step out of what God told him to do exactly. Let's go into Genesis account now. Let's go to Kings. First Kings, there may be no greater temptation to adjust God's plan than what you find here. After the kingdom divided, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he split off 10 tribes to the north. And it was, he found out it was politically difficult for the people of God to go all the way to Jerusalem and worship God. So he decided to build a couple of calves. And what he did, beginning in verse 28, notice that the king consulted, made two golden calves, said to them, "It is too much for us to go to Jerusalem. Behold your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. These calves, these idols brought God's people out of Egypt." He set one in Bethel, the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin. For he says, the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses on high places, made priests among the people that were not the sons of Levi. Jeroboam instituted the feast day in the 8th month, 15th day. What he did, he set up a worship service contrary to God's word. Contrary to what God had set up. He set up a substitute feast day. He set up a substitute priesthood that was supposed to be a substitute for the Levitical priesthood. Jeroboam twisted and tweaked and adjusted the worship of God to suit himself. To suit himself. And today, there are thousands and thousands of churches. Thousands. And every one of them is a testimony of the failure to be satisfied with what God said to do. Every one of them. Every single one. Do exactly what God said to do. The way that God said to do it. When you see a different church than the one written about in the Bible, it is an open testimony of defiance that we want to do it our way. That's what that means. Because people are not satisfied like Noah. Why? To be simply obedient. To be simply trusting. And we think we can do it better. We want to make it more exciting. We want to draw more people. We want to do it our way. We want to adjust God's blueprint. And I'm thinking about those who are not satisfied with God's word when it says to sing, the command to sing, not play. Because everybody knows it's more exciting and better to have a rock band in church. And I'm thinking about those that think about the Bible talks about baptism being essential to salvation. Why can't we go with that faith-only thing? That's what that is. Those who are not content for the church to be in the soul-saving business and be satisfied with that, because fun and games are a lot more attractive to out there. Hey, let's change it. There are countless examples of people who adjust God's plan. or think they do, not being like Noah, not being exactly what God said to be. Brings me to fourth, I think, amazing choice that Noah made, and that is, will I let God decide who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost? We're going to test in Genesis. Let's look at chapter 7. Let's begin reading verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you every clean animal by seven, the male and his female, and the animals that are not clean too, male and female. Also the birds of the sky by seven, male and female. To keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 49. I'll blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made." Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the water of the flood. Noah was 600 years old. You know what happened to people after the flood? We didn't live 600 years, 800 years, 500 years. We started dying at 70 years. For Sonic rain, I believe the Bible speaks that way. You may disagree with that. There was a heavy dew in the morning. That's how things got water. It's called the hydro-halo effect. Over the earth, moisture. You know what that did? Blocked the sun. You know what ages you? The sun. It's going out all in there, aren't it? That's something to think about. After the flood and the first time it ever rained, the natural process, evaporation, sun, age, all of that went. But as I look at that and I think about that, I think in some ways we become very comfortable with Noah and his family. We do, don't we? Noah, respect the story, and we can see them as great examples of faith, Noah and his family. And I look at that, but did they have any relatives? Did they have any neighbors? What about the in-laws? I mean, what were the rest of the folks that ought to be getting on the ark with Noah? And maybe the most frightening thing of all is, as you're thinking about that, when it began to rain and the fountains of the deep came up, water everywhere, deeper and deeper, and the thoughts of people outside floating around the ark. And we've all seen the Facebook memes of people paddling on the side of the ark, let us in, all of those things. Maybe that might be the most fun. But I look at, had Noah acquainted with the people? How long? Over 100 years? Preacher of righteousness, preaching, please turn to God, do things God's way. And now, Noah had to listen to the people outside the ark. And Noah had to witness the wrath and judgment of God on the people that did not turn to God. And you know, I look at that. I tell you what, in a moment like that, be awful tempting to open that door, wouldn't it? Would it? Be awful tempting to open that door just a little bit wider. And I think about that. How often we try to smooth things over for folks when it comes to the gospel. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7, it's narrow way. It's narrow. And there'll just be a few people that find that, and I think that's kind of hard. That's kind of awkward. Can't we make room for everybody? I mentioned what the scriptures say about baptism being essential to salvation. You know what? Nobody talks about that anymore. And nobody wants to hear that anymore. The Bible teaches there's just one church. That's the Lord's church. But can't we just drop that and go to the church of your choice? After all, there's just thousands out there to choose from. What about homosexual marriage? What about marriage and divorce? What about choosing your sexuality? What about all of those? Can't we lighten up on that a little bit? Can't we just ease up on that? Because people choose different paths nowadays, don't you know? I'm not suggesting this morning that Noah was delighted that people drowned. He was not. As Brent read in 2 Peter, he was a preacher of righteousness. What's that mean?
That means he warned people. That means he talked about the coming judgment of God. That means he talked about being right with God. He told the people the word of God, but what happened? They would not listen. People did not listen to Noah. And what all that adds up to is what this passage says. That what Noah realized when the floods came up and the rain came down, when all of that happened, he realized that the only people that were righteous and right was the ones on the ark. It was the ones on the ark. It was his own family that trusted God. Everybody that obeyed God was in the safety of the ark. Everybody that chose to do that. What all that adds up to is just that. And the decision to remain outside, and the decision to not do what? That wasn't Noah's decision. Noah didn't decide that for other folks. They decided that for themselves. Noah preached, Noah built, and then Noah was content for letting God's word do its work. He's preacher right. Letting God choose to save by the power of his word, by those that respond to his word. You know, I think about it. Is there some difference today? Is it? Friends and brethren, our job is to preach the word of God. Amen. Our job is to preach and teach the word of God, to tell people how to follow Jesus Christ. If they will not follow, I'm telling you, we can't make a different way. We can't crack the door wide open. We can't even build a different door or a different window for them to come in. We can't do it. We dare not preach or teach another word that is different from the New Testament doctrine. Can't do it. We need to obey the Lord. We need to do what God says. And then we need to leave the rest up to God. One more verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Fitting passage, really, to finish this lesson with, because sometimes people call Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Fame of chapters. That just sometimes makes steam come out of my ears. I hate that sometimes, because the purpose of Hebrews 11, what that shows is, just like the purpose of Genesis chapter 6, it's not to raise people up and say, well, I can't be like them. Oh, that's different than me. I can. No, the purpose of Hebrews 11, just like all of Scripture, is to show us these people of faith and to say, you can do that too. You can be like them too. Look at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world. He became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I love that verse. And the purpose of that is not to say, hey, this guy hit 700 home runs. You'll never do it. This guy rushed for 18,000 yards in football field. You'll never do that. The Bible saying that about Noah is that by faith, Noah obeyed God. And we can do that. The Bible is saying that Noah refused to give up and give in to the world and the unrighteousness and the ungodliness of the world, and that Noah refused to preach or teach anything but what God preached and teached and gave to Noah by his word. We can too. And I look at that, the Bible saying that Noah did that. Friends and brethren, by faith we can do that too. We can be like Noah. That song was pleased. The gospel of Jesus Christ is this. Jesus commanded his disciples to go out into all the world and preach this. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the gospel. There's no gospel like it. Can't preach anything else but that. Upon that obedience, you'll be added to the Lord's body. We won't boast in. The Lord adds you to the church of Christ, the body that he bought with his own blood. Please come. That's together we stand and sing.